following are testimonies of members of the New Beginnings Church. The first 2 minutes of this audio presentation are distorted because the gain was too high and I was unable to clean it up in editing.
I was telling George there's not one part of me that doesn't have something challenging to it.
Challenging.
And I even had to call Pastor Morris once or twice because I was really depressed. I was really in a point of depression. I just felt like I couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel anymore.
Yeah.
And I was actually so depressed that I couldn't pray for what I needed.
Mm.
When I started the fast, I only wanted to give up sweets and desserts because we're diabetic and we need to eat our protein and we don't like tofu. So we decided to eat meat. But I thought, you know, this isn't much to give up, but it is a lot to give up when you love sweets and desserts. But I noticed through the fast, I fell off a couple of times, but through the fast, my spirit lifted.
Amen.
It lifted to the point where I was reading one of Joyce Meyer's books, The Battlefield of the Mind, and she said that old cliche, it's darkest right before the dawn,
mm-hmm.
And she said, if your life is dark, then you're getting ready for a breakthrough.
Oh, amen.
And to be hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, hopeful? How can I hope when this body is so broken? But I was hopeful. And every day, this last week, has been better and better and better.
Oh, glory.
And I know that I've been through this valley for a testimony. And this is not it. It's going to be great because...
Amen.
Something good is going to happen to me.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I agree with you.
And I'm not depressed anymore.
Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Good testimony. That's all I want to hear. Chains broken.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
God is good.
Yes. All the time.
And he is better than we can imagine.
Yes.
During this fast, I can't tell you or give an account of all the mighty things he has done. So I'm only going to mention a few.
Okay, just go for it.
You never know when God's going to use you or how he's going to use you. I had the opportunity to be involved in a minister coming to pray for a patient at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
The patient was dying, was unconscious, but the family knew that she was a believer, and they wanted somebody to pray, but they wanted a pastor. The family wasn't from this area. They knew nobody. I had just walked in, and I overheard the doctor and the nurse talking about, were we going to get somebody?
Mm.
I said, I know somebody.
Mm. Come on.
And Bob came out and prayed with him.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly after, the mom went away, went and died. But the family was relieved because they got her last request in. On day 13 of the fast, I did my little thing, went to bed, and had a dream. I was in I went to a party, a get-together, and when I came out, my car was not parked where or how I left it. When I left, driving away, the road disappeared slowly into the swamp. And I was thinking, they ought to put lights out. People could see where they're going. As I continued, the swamp got closer and closer until I decided I need to turn around. When I turned around, the road was gone. I was starting to panic. At that point, I woke up. I'm like, what in the world? I didn't eat pizza for dinner. But then, day 14, the notebook went through, and it said, pray for a vision to see dangers of life ahead and step over them. And it came to me then that this dream was, if you're in a dark place and can't see, open your spiritual eyes,
yeah,
and the light will be there to lead
Amen.
You out.
Amen. Amen.
The next thing that happened, I got a call from the St. Chamonix Sheriff's Office. And they said, come on in. We have recovered more stolen items.
Oh.
So I went in, and I got some jewelry back, a watch, a couple necklaces. And I talked to the detective who had been on the case. He said that the gentleman, well, I can't call him a gentleman, but the men who...
The perpetrator, yeah.
Had broken in and stolen all over Slidell to the tune of $1.5 million.
Oh, my goodness.
They were associated with a gang out of California. The federal department had been called in because it's multiple states now, and they're bringing this gang down.
Yeah, all right, so good news.
And I was involved in that in a negative way to me, mm-hmm. but in a positive way to the outcome. So God can do amazing things and work far beyond the scope we hold him to.
Yes.
And I'm so grateful for that.
Amen, amen. Good testimony, Sherry. Hallelujah. Don't give up on God. He doesn't give up on us. Hallelujah. Somebody else.
I don't know if I qualify. If this wasn't particularly about the fast, but it was during the fast time.
Okay.
I was just so blessed by the March for Life yesterday.
Yeah.
And I got to see it on my computer. Wow, I was so excited. And the president's words for life, it just blessed me so much. We just need to keep praying that God will remove that scourge of information. There were hordes of people there. I hope every one of them was praying.
Amen, amen. I agree with that. Yeah, that's a good testimony. The first president ever to go speak at the Right to Life March. Okay? Somebody else? Maybe you're just doing better? Or maybe you're doing worse? Oh, okay.
Okay? Yeah. I'm going to just kind of ride on what other people have said because, first of all, my spirit has been so lifted during this fast. It's like almost, I don't even know how to explain it, but it's just been a very, very sweet and unique time with the Lord. Just so, so, so good. And Sherry, I want ride on yours because I pray that some of your jewelry would be recovered.
Yes,
you know, so, you know, I feel like the Lord tells us things. He keeps us tuned. When we're in prayer, then he, you know, he tells us things. And so that's awesome. And I always tell people, if you will pray, you will see God.
Yes.
You know, God will do things. And you will see it because you prayed about it. And Camille, the Right to Life March this year was so, so incredible. And, you know, we prayed that God would do far beyond what we could think or imagine. And the president, the only president that has ever spoken at the Right to Life is our president that we have now.
Yes.
And I just thought that was so beyond what we could have asked or thought,
mm-hmm.
you know, that that this man would take such a stand, such an open public stand on his belief in life, you know, the right to life for our children, our grandchildren, for generations to come, maybe. So, just awesome. It's been an awesome time. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. She beat you. She had a hand up first.
I want to be the last anyway.
The last will be first.
I think I mentioned before here in the church that my newest grandchild, Liam, has a problem with nursing. He is tongue-tied. Well, when Rachel took him to the doctor, he is not only tongue-tied in the front, he has a posterior tongue tie and what they call buccal ties on his cheeks. Lots of chains that keep the baby from successfully nursing and makes it very painful for mama, who's determined to continue. lots of chains, as it were. Because my mom was celebrating her 85th birthday and took my sister and me on a cruise, I really couldn't participate well in the fast. But I chose not to partake in some of the activities on the cruise as my fast, as well as the enforced, because we were on the water, absence of technology. So I was able to notice around us on the cruise, there were lots of people praying over their meals. And it was very encouraging to me that they had the courage to step out and be bold about giving thanks for the food that was set before them. Well, in the meantime, I had been praying about Liam, because this is not the first child that she has suffered through breastfeeding with. And there, he now has an appointment for surgery for the doctor to revise all of these ties. But beyond that, Liam has been admitted into a research study to determine the long-term effects of the revision to the ties. So he will be benefiting others as well. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. You want to say something?
Yeah, something.
Well, come on, say.
Pastor, you recommended to put away the cell phones. It blessed me more than I could ever tell you. I was more productive in my work and more peace of mind.
Wow, that was
that's
a good
great.
Idea.
Yeah.
That's
great.
That's great. Thank you for that.
Well, mine's going to be a little bit different. I'm always usually different. God picks the ones with the big mouth to put some heavy stuff on. Anyway, I had trouble with this fast. When I was in New Orleans at Word of Faith, Pastor Green used to call a fast. I used to do nothing but liquids. Well, that's long gone. I tried after the third day. I said, Lord, I don't know how to make this, but you can help me. So I decided, give up breakfast. So I did that for a week or so. Then a few days, fell off the wagon. Tried to go back to it this past week. And then I had gotten an invitation from a club that I used to belong to maybe 50, 60 years ago when I was in New Orleans. And Becky and Roe, God bless them both, when they said they were going, I asked, can I get a ride with you? And they said, yeah, no problem. So poor Roe with his sore back, he was driving all the way going. When we got to this place, I lent him my famous walking stick here. He said, thank you, Rose, that I can walk around this place with a stick to lean on. I said, use it. I don't need it until we get back in the car to come home, you know. Okay. But the point, the real point of this whole matter is this club that I belonged to 50 years ago or whatever, I knew the parents of all the people who were there yesterday. These people yesterday were the children of all the people that I knew as my friends. All the parents are dead and gone. And all these children, some knew me, some didn't. I even got to see some grandchildren, too. And I mean, they're grown, big people. They're not little kids. And it was an awesome experience for me to see all these people, to reestablish contact. They were kids. Some of them were kids. Some of them were teenagers when I knew the parents. And it was really an awesome experience to see and to meet some of them. But the key factor of this whole thing which made that experience totally worth it, was in the last, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, Rose says to me, "This lady over here, she wants to see you." I said, "Oh, okay." So her back was to me. She was way across the room. Then, sitting at a table near to me, a little over this way, there was this lady in this very unique kind of a blouse. It's like beige with little miniature black dots in it, and it the thing just fascinated me. I wanted to see the lady's face. Well, later, she turned around, and we got to talking, and I introduced myself to her. I never met her before in my life because her husband just came back from Lebanon, and she's been here for a while. Well, anyway, I saw she was wearing a cross, a small cross, and that caught my eye right away. And I said, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "Yes." I said, "You Catholic?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Great, fine, I was a Catholic once." So anyway, we started talking, and we got really close. She hugged me, and I hugged her, and I tell you the truth, I could feel God had put a bond, a friendship between her and I had no idea who this woman really was. Then comes this young lady that Ro told me about, and when she came up to me, I said, "Well, I've already talked to you before a while ago earlier." "No, I want to know you more. There's something more about you that I want to know." I said, "Okay." So we started talking, going all the way back to family history, going back 15,000 miles away from here, up in the mountains, you know, where all the rich people, high society people over in that middle part of the world go. Anyway, we talked. And we talked a lot of things about the old country and about family. And she happens to be the granddaughter of somebody that I knew. Anyway, we got down to the place where, "Okay, give me your name, your phone number, your address, and all of this stuff. And what do you do?" I said, "Well," I said, "you see this man sitting here?" I said, "He's in lots of pain right now, but he plays the piano synthesizer at my church." I said, "And sometimes I sing." "Oh, you do? He plays the piano?" "Yes." "And you sing?" I said, "Yes." She said, "That's awesome. I would love to hear that." I said, "Well, we belong to a small church in Slidell." "Oh, really? Well, where is that at?" And I told her. I gave it a name. And, oh, this was so cute. I said, "God, you've got such a sense of humor." I said, "The name of the church is New Beginnings Church, NBC. Well, I tell you the truth, I like to fall out of my own chairs when the Lord said that to me. I said, "Awesome, God, awesome." She said, "Well," then by the little, almost that time, my other friend, the one with the beige and black blouse, came up, and we were kind of like all together in a circle. And the lady with the long black hair says to me, "Well, can anybody come to your church?" I said, "Of course." And I said, "You're Catholic too, huh?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "That's okay, good. We all were Catholic once." And so when she said, "I would like to come," and no, I said, "Why don't you try to come to Slidell and maybe visit my church?" She said, "That's a neat idea." She said, "I just might do that. I might just surprise you one Sunday and come to your church to see and hear what goes on." I said, "Thank you, Jesus." The other lady said, Well, yeah. She said, why don't the three of us get together sometime and we can, you know, share things and talk about it all. I said, yes. I said, and you too can come to Slidell and come to my church. And maybe they can come together. I lifted up the name of Jesus Christ in that place to as many people as I could talk to and tell them about Jesus. My song, Elohim. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I sang that song into two ladies who were separately at different times. One said, I want to hear the song. I said, okay, I can sing it for you right here. And I sang the whole song for her right there. She said, awesome. It's awesome. The other woman said, my goodness. She said, I never heard a song like that before. And I said, well, when the Lord woke me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was sitting on the side of my bed, and I said, okay, God, what's up? And he said, I want you to proclaim my name in the earth. I said, and that's when he gave me the song. I said, so the song is to be broadcast and proclaimed everywhere I go. And they were like in awe. They didn't know what to say. But praise unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That, and this was such an old-time local civil organization. And I'm not getting into no names, because if this goes over the internet, I don't want any trouble. But anyway, it was good, solid people that I knew years ago who came together and wanted to keep a heritage alive. But when they heard all of what I had to say, the expression on their faces totally changed. And I exulted, and I had remember reading just a day or so before, Jesus in Philippians epistle, it says that God highly exalted his son, even unto calling his name Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And so I prayed before I ever left my home, God, use me for your glory. Use me mightily for your glory. And I consider this experience that I had with these people was a mighty experience, to the fact that I was bold enough to speak the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, there was even one girl, Becky's friend. She was, their brother had been rushed to the hospital the night before when they discovered an aneurysm in his heart. Critical condition. Well, anyway, she was telling me and Ro, and she said, I'd like, if you wouldn't mind, would you, you know, pray. Keep him in your prayers. And I looked at Ro, and Ro looked at me, and Ro says, well, why don't we pray right now? I said, good idea. So I grabbed her hand, he grabbed her other hand, and we prayed. We prayed for her, we prayed for her brother, and prayed for Ro twice. And Becky, Becky had to run off to the ladies' room before we got to pray. So when she came back, she says, well, what were y'all doing? We said, we were praying. Well, why you didn't wait for me? I said, because you went off and we had to pray. The lady wanted to pray now. It was funny. But God got the glory out of all of what happened. And I want to thank him. I almost refused this invitation, but thank God I didn't. But I thank you, Jesus, that you used my big mouth and my heart and soul to spread your name among these people, and never knowing what can go from there to wherever. So in the name of the
Lord. Amen. Good testimony. The Lord said that the fields are white on the harvest. You know, if you just go out, folks looking for the truth everywhere you go. So, good testimony. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Yes.
I just want to say something to Miss Rose about her testimony. There's a song, and I don't know who wrote it, but I've heard it sung many times. It's generation to generation. And that's what you saw, and that's what you experienced happening there. Not just with children and grandchildren of your friends from the past, but you were there to deliver a message to that generation.
Amen. Amen. That's true. Amen. Good. Charles. Well, it's been a good fast for me. Nothing earth shattering, but I have just a great expectation of good things. And we haven't had a lot of good things happening in many ways. Just from a physical thing, you know, you had a water coming up out of a slab of our house, which is, trying to deal with that. And just some other things. Our schedule has just been really kind of crazy lately, working on the mayor's prayer breakfast and other things. But it seems like everywhere I went, I had a peace about it. And that's what I really need more than anything else, just a peace, trust in the Lord. And but I believe, and I'll tell you in a few minutes, that I believe that this fast will take us in to the new year.